Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching from wherever you are. I'm Eric Sunset, your host of the Doc Buddy Journal. This is episode 48. It's being recorded on Thursday, January 11th. And whether this is your first time seeing the show or you're a regular listener, be sure that you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube to be sure that you get the newest episodes of the Doc Buddy Journal as they are released. This is our first show being recorded in 2024. Yep, we'll pull back the curtain on our production schedule for you there. Last week's great episode with Lisa Blue was recorded just before going into that week of Christmas, and we published it at the beginning of the month to be sure that we were continuing the feed of the Doc Buddy Journal for you. We're also going to be recording another episode with a guest later this week, which I think you'll find very interesting. We've actually got nearly a handful of guests we'll be recording episodes with next week to get you a really diversified look and view into health IT from those who are experts on the front lines. But for this week, it's just me. I'm all you've got this time. Hopefully it didn't scare you off. If it did, though, be sure to take a look at our backlog of episodes, which you can get to at docbuddy.com/blog. And if there is anything else we can do for you in terms of your physician workflow solutions, being able to reduce the amount of burden that your providers undergo to generate documentation, whether they're at the clinic, at the surgery center, or at any place of care in between, you can also find out more about that on docbuddy.com. So let's get into it. It's been a sort of a quiet month, at least from us here in the Doc Buddy Journal, talking about AI and talking about large language models or LLMs in healthcare. The most famous LLM, of course, being ChatGPT. But our friends at JAMA, J-A-M-A, released a new report. And it was titled Diagnostic Accuracy of a Large Language Model in Pediatric Case Studies. And depending on which side of the line that you fall on, this is either going to be surprising results or not surprising results at all. So we'll start with that heading from the report. We'll cite directly from it and provide some commentary as well. Hopefully I'll be able to make that clear for you. The chatbot had a diagnostic error rate of 83%. So that's 83 out of 100 in this case. Among the incorrect diagnoses, 72 out of 100 were incorrect and 11% were clinically related but too broad to be considered a correct diagnosis. Most of the incorrect diagnoses generated by the chatbot belonged to the same organ system as the correct diagnosis. So this was 47 out of the 83 that it got wrong. And for instance, psoriasis and seborrheic dermatitis, close but not the same, but they were not specific enough to be considered correct in the instance of hypoparathyroidism and hungry bone syndrome. Additionally, 36% of the final case report diagnoses were included in the LLM-generated differential list. So despite the high error rate of the chatbot, physicians can and should continue to investigate the applications of LLMs to medicine. LLMs and chatbots have potential as an administrative tool for physicians, demonstrating proficiency in writing research articles and generating patient instructions. And as we all know, certain electronic health records like Epic have collaborated with Microsoft's OpenAI to incorporate GPT-4 with the goal of automating components of clinical documentation from within their EHR. However, this is on the flip side coming from the authors of the study, however, the underwhelming diagnostic performance of the chatbot observed in this particular study underscores the invaluable role that clinical experience holds. The chatbot evaluated in the study, unlike physicians, was not able to identify some relationships, such as that between autism and vitamin deficiencies. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. To improve the generative AI chatbot's diagnostic accuracy, more selective training is likely required. Yeah, you think? Because ChatGPT is a generalized LLM. It's trained across all different media and content found across the web. It's not being trained on medical textbooks and medical encyclopedias. Something, though, like Google's MedPal 2 have specifically been trained on medical data, and you'd expect it to perform better then ChatGPT in this particular study with an incorrect, or better put, an error rate for diagnostics at 83 out of 100. So stated the other way, it only got 17 right out of 100. That's an F minus. So not even close. Is that really a surprise to those that are paying attention? No, because ChatGPT is a generalized word predictor. And I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek here. If you haven't listened to prior episodes of the Doc Buddy Journal, or you're not up to speed on how these large language models work, you initiate a prompt, you ask for something, or like in this case, to diagnose an issue based on a set of observations. And then the machine uses a word prediction model, word prediction algorithm, to give you what looks like a complete thought. But it's doing just that. It's a next word in a sentence predictor at its core. And it, you know what? That sounds derogatory, but that's the reality of how these softwares are built and how they work. It's giving you the most likely next word in a sentence. A lot of times it works out really well, just obviously not in this case, where ChatGPT isn't trained on pediatric diagnoses and pediatric problems well enough to get more than 17 out of 100 great. So to put a bow on this topic before we move on to the next one, this states the obvious for me. A lot of times ChatGPT and LLMs are a solution in search of a problem. There's no replacement for a provider's medical decision-making and experience, at least at this juncture. And if we ever get to a juncture where a software can do a good job providing with diagnostic accuracy, I'd still want a provider in place to be sure that my inputs were correct from which we're deriving that particular output, like a diagnosis. So a big thank you to JAMA. That is sort of an ungated article on their site. We'll be sure to provide a link to it in the show notes so that you're able to take a look at it for yourself and see what you think. Our second topic of the day comes from our very good friends at Becker's. We love the work they do over there. In this particular article, The State of Labor Costs, Three Stats to Know from beckersasc.com, the number one stat, if you work at an ASC or you're associated with an ASC or you own an ASC, you're going to know medical groups are spending more per physician in 2023 than previous years. A recent report by the American Medical Group Association found that the median expense per physician in 2023 increased from $905,000 and change, we're going to round it down, $905,000 to over $1 million at $1,036,000. And this is despite a slight uptick in revenue compared to the previous year. And the median loss faced by medical groups per physician was just shy of $250,000. The AMGA attributed the increase to issues with ongoing labor shortages. Hold that thought. We're going to jump right into that. But one quick stat first. Compared to pre-pandemic levels, median total revenue per physician increased 9.1%, while median total expense per physician increased over 26% over the same period. An ongoing labor shortage. Yeah, that'd be putting it very, very mildly. Not only are we looking at a labor shortage for those in non-clinical roles in healthcare facilities, from what we hear and from what we're seeing firsthand, it is very difficult to staff to adequate levels from everything from front desk, surgical techs, physicians, and mid-levels included here as well. But what we're really talking about with this ongoing labor shortage is the slow motion cataclysm of just simply not having enough physicians in this country. We've covered it before. Within the next 5 years, we're going to be down a significant amount of physicians that we expect to have per capita. And this issue is, it's twofold. Number one, physicians are retiring early. They're feeling the pressure of their career, the pressure of the bad health IT that they're forced to use. And they're just simply leaving the profession. And on the front end of our physician supply chain, we hardly have anybody applying and going through medical school to want to become a physician. We've got big issues here. And you know, when you look at some of these numbers, that the spend per physician is going up, or median expense per physician is going up, you're going to see that number, just as a matter of the statistics, continue to go up as more and more physicians leave the workforce and they're not replaced with those graduating from medical school. Number two of three stats from Becker's ASC, the cost of practicing medicine is rising. Inflation, specifically in healthcare, continues to grow. The Medicare Economic Index, which measures medical practice cost inflation, increased 4.6% in 2023, the highest in the last 23 years. Despite this, CMS's finalized fee schedule reduced overall physician pay by 1.25 points and updated the conversion factor to $32.74, a 3.4% decrease over the last year. What else can you say here? We're getting squeezed. Our wallets are getting pinched in at every turn, at every corner. But some of these stats are interesting to keep an eye on. The cost of practicing medicine is rising. Medical practice cost inflation increased almost 5 points in 2023. Not great. Something's got to be done. And then finally, the third point from Becker's ASC in this particular article, some ASCs have had to spend 1/4 or more of their net operating revenue on employees to stay ahead of shortages. The average percentage of operating revenue ASCs spent on paying employees was 21.3%, according to a report from VMG Health. However, the highest spenders paid 29% of their earnings to compensate staff. And I mean, really, those facts and figures kind of tell you everything that you need to know. It is really tough to hire good help. I mean, it was tough to find good help before COVID, obviously. It's always tough to find good help. But now it's really tough to find it, to find even like serviceable help, and then to go a step further to even hang on to it. The average percentage of operating revenue was 21.3%, and then at the top end, almost a third of your operating revenue being spent on staffing. Food for thought there. Like I said, we're looking forward to bringing you a great slate of guests through this week and the next, and then into the future as well. We also look forward to bringing you the highest quality findings and insights for around the health IT arena, particularly around physician workflow, particularly around burnout. So on behalf of the entire DocBuddy team, we want to thank you for listening. Be sure that you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And if you're interested in taking a look at any of DocBuddy solutions like OpNote, like Enterprise, like On-Call Calendar, like DocBuddy Voice even, drop us a line over at DocBuddy.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Eric Sunset. We'll talk to you again soon.